What you get early in life stays with you. And if you grow up in an environment where there's domestic violence, the prospects for success later in life can be seriously limited. Our next guest learned all this and more as he dealt with his own experience with childhood domestic violence. Brian F. Martin is the author of Invincible, The 10 Lies You Learn Growing Up with Domestic Violence and the Truths to Set You Free. Brian Martin grew up with domestic violence in his own household. He's an entrepreneur by trade and has founded several businesses. He's the founder and CEO of the Childhood Domestic Violence Association, and among other works, has executive produced a documentary, The Children Next Door. Invincible made it to the top five in the New York Times bestseller list a year ago. It is out in paperback effective today. Brian Martin, thanks for joining us on The Exchange.
Hey, Jeffrey. Thanks for having us.
So I'm going to guess you did not always feel invincible yourself. When in your life did you begin dealing with what had happened to you in the past?
Well, when you grow up living with domestic violence, what I think most people don't understand is that it's one of the adversities that we face growing up, right, in our childhood home. And the adversities that we face in our childhood home are quite different than adversities that we face outside of our home. And adversities faced in childhood are very different than adversities faced as an adult. When I say different, I mean they have a very different impact. So, I mean, the first question is, you know, did you face an adversity growing up in your childhood home? And there are about 10 of them, but very few of us as adults actually connect any of those adversities to where we aren't in our life.
In the sense that we don't assume that the reason we haven't achieved a certain level of success might be because of something that happened beyond our control a long time ago?
And it's not that we are blaming. It's not a question of blame, and it certainly isn't a question of, oh, because that happened to me when I was young, therefore I can't. But what actually happens is it's all about the development of the brain, really. Because if you grow up facing adversities in your childhood home, that negatively wires a developing brain. And those negative beliefs that set in early, the brain has two primary jobs throughout life. One is to keep us alive, and the other is to find evidence that it believes is true. So as an example, if you believed that in some way when you were young, the adversity that you faced in your childhood home was, you were responsible for it. It was because of you. You should have stopped it. You could have done something different. That guilt, that sense of shame, if you believe that early in life, your brain then seeks to find evidence as to why that is indeed true and why you are a guilty person and why you are shamed. And that has very negative impacts as you get into your teenage years and you become an adult in areas like your behaviors and your emotions and your health and your relationships. All of this is really well documented. What's not really well known is the connection between the two.
So, Brian, just a few definitions here. When you talk about childhood domestic violence, are we talking about child abuse per se, or can this be violence to anybody in the home, not necessarily directly related to the child?
Well, if you grow up living with domestic violence, you've experienced childhood domestic violence. And from the standpoint of a child, domestic violence is violence between their parents, right? When we hear the term domestic violence, most people think of it as violence, you know, between adults in a relationship. From a parent's standpoint, or from a child's standpoint, rather, it's violence between their parents, or violence towards a parent, perhaps from a significant other or a step-parent. And that's one of about 10 adversities that we can face in childhood. Another, you know, adversity you just mentioned is physical child abuse. You know, another would be sexual abuse. It's rare that anybody ever experiences just one adversity, because if you experience one adversity in your childhood home, you're normally experiencing others. They don't just happen in isolation.
So do you consider yourself one of the lucky ones in the sense that your life is okay now?
Well, it's interesting because I, you know, grew up facing a number of adversities in my childhood home. So did my mother. So did her boyfriend when they were both young. And my mother spoke to me about the adversities that she faced when she was young. When I was young, we actually talked about them pretty openly. Interestingly, the one that we never talked about was the one that she didn't even know what to call, which is part of the problem here. She didn't even know that, you know, the violence between her parents that she lived with, that she struggled with when she was young, she didn't even know what to call that, so therefore she never talked about it. Neither did her boyfriend. So when they wound up then getting together as adults and me being in that house, that was never something that we talked about. And until we can provide young people and adults with the words that they need to understand that, yeah, if you grew up in one of those homes, you experience childhood domestic violence, and it absolutely has an impact on that developing brain, which has an impact on where you are today.
All right, I want to get further into the road of exactly what happens to the brain, because there are some true developmental issues that crop up with children exposed to things like domestic violence in the home. Brian Martin has had the access to a fair amount of research on this and talked to some people who are experts on this. His book is called Invincible, The 10 Lies You Learned Growing Up with Domestic Violence and the Truths to Set You Free. We'll come back and talk more with Brian Martin and you as well. You can join us by phone or by email. We'll come back to the Jefferson Exchange with Brian Martin, Invincible, and you in a minute 25. Back on the Jefferson Exchange on the News and Information Service of Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. Our guest today is Brian Martin, entrepreneur, CEO of the Domestic Violence, Childhood Domestic Violence Association, and the author of the book Invincible, The 10 Lies You Learn Growing Up with Domestic Violence and the Truths to Set You Free. Came out a year ago in hardback, out in paperback as of today. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange as we talk about the long-lasting impacts of childhood domestic violence on the child who grows up in such a home. 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. And our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Brian, back to your own story. There was a real, I mean, aside from, there were some fairly raw and somewhat scary things early in the book, but then you talk about the people in your family who ended up in prison prior to your generation. It's a fairly long line, it sounds like.
Yeah, I mean, it's about 90% of people who grow up facing these adversities in their childhood home. Not 90% of people, 90% of those who are incarcerated. You know, 9 out of 10 grew up in one of these homes. So, you know, it's not uncommon. I think I'm the first in four generations not to be in prison. My plan is to stay out. And some people would mistakenly think that as, you know, there's something unique about me. There's, you know, or some people would think that if they grew up in one of these homes and now they're, you know, they're not in a domestically violent relationship. They're not addicted. They're alive because, you know, they haven't killed themselves through suicide. You know, they're not in jail. They're not committing violent crimes. They're not depressed. They're not in a stage of poverty, you know, that their life is better than where it started. They may believe that that has something to do uniquely with just who they are as a person, that they're stronger. They may be stronger, but that strength only came because someone stepped in. You know, someone needs to step in to the life of a child, the life of a young adult, to help them see the lies for what they are. They have to step in to help them understand the truths, because so frequently we can't see it. That's the pathway to resiliency. When an adult steps in, we need more of that in our society, but it's hard to do when we don't have the words to use. And a topic like this is so taboo, right? We think it's not really our business.
Did somebody step in for you when you were young?
My mother, at a real low point for both of us, she gave me a couple books and inscribed those books to me. And one of those books was a book called A Man's Search for Meaning. And I was in junior high when I got it, but as I looked at the back cover brought me into the book. And what I realized was, you know, maybe she didn't have the words to give me because no one ever gave her those words. But what she did was she gave me something that led me to a better truth. And that truth for me wound up being that I wasn't alone, that others experienced far more suffering than I have. And they've been able to control the meaning of that suffering. So what that meant for me was, you know, if I can work hard enough, I can probably create some security for me and my family. And that came in the form of money because we grew up very poor. And when there's violence in the household and there's poverty, it's like, geez, your attention always goes to the violence first. So how the hell do you ever get out of the poverty? But I really said, you know, if I could work hard, I could get out of this. And, you know, that worked. Just because, though, I wound up realizing success from the standpoint of, you know, getting a job and getting some money and being able to help my mother didn't mean that I was resilient and unaffected. Because every one of the lies that are in this book, I believed to the core. That I believed these things about myself in the same way that young people who are growing up in these homes right now believe they are guilty and they are very resentful and they are angry. And some of them believe it's hopeless. They believe they're alone. They believe they're worth less than others. They are fearful. They believe that's who they are. That's not who they are. That's just what they've been taught to believe about themselves and their lives.
So what has happened to you is not what you are.
What has happened to you, what happened to you and what you then, what belief, what meaning you gave that, if someone does not check that belief, that is a lie. And mostly, you know, unless you were fortunate where a teacher or a coach or someone stepped in, because the parents normally don't, right? The parents are typically the last ones who want to talk about the adversities they faced or that their children are facing in their childhood home. So many of them faced the same thing just a generation prior.
Brian Martin is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. His book about childhood domestic violence is called Invincible. You recount the tale, Brian, of meeting a reporter who said, "You're grown up now. You should get over it." What did you say back?
It's a great point. So many people say that, you know, come on, give me a break. You know, you're an adult now. And that's true. We are all adults. But if you know how the brain works, and if all of our, you know, one of the leading researchers on the brain said to me in a conversation, he said, "Brian, you know, it's one of the primary weaknesses of the human species that who we believe we are is pretty much decided on before we ever get a shot to decide ourselves, to decide when we have our brain fully developed, which doesn't happen until we're like 21 or 22. So unless you have the knowledge and the awareness to challenge some of these lies, and how are you going to get that? Someone has to step in and help you with that, or they have to become aware on their own. In the past, you know, when I was searching for information on, you know, not so much me, but I reached out to try to help kids in domestic violence shelters. And, you know, as I reached out, the first idea I had was kind of like make a wish. Let's take the kids in the domestic violence shelters away on a trip. And maybe that trip will help them see a better life for themselves. Well, I did that for a few years and that didn't work. So then the more I researched what happens to people who grow up living with domestic violence, all I found were articles that were, you know, research articles and textbooks, and, you know, they weren't written for us, for people. Researchers did a phenomenal job with the research, but we really needed to take all of that research and put it into language that we can understand. blend it with stories of other people so we can find ourselves in those stories, and then lay out some real practical steps as to, all right, what can I actually do to unlearn these lies if I believe them?
So let's talk about some numbers here. I mean, how many of us grew up around childhood domestic violence? How many actually got hit as well and therefore were abused? You pull in some figures about that in the book.
You know, there are about 40 million adults in this country alone who grew up living with domestic violence. There are about 15 million children who are currently living with it. What's interesting is that more than half of the children who are living with it right now are being raised by parents who experienced the same thing just a generation prior, you know, who never unlearned the lies themselves.
So it's an ongoing cycle.
What do we say when we go on a plane? What do they say? They say, you know, in case of an emergency, if you're traveling with a child, put on your own mask first, right? Mm-hmm. We got to give the adults the mask in turn. They will help the children. And the best predictor from the standpoint of, you know, many people who are interested in domestic violence, right? The best predictor of whether you'll be in a domestically violent relationship is whether or not you grew up living in it. If you want to end domestic violence, you must address childhood domestic violence. To not would be almost like trying to end smoking without solving the problem or addressing lung cancer.
Brian F. Martin's our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. His book is Invincible, The 10 Lies You Learned Growing Up with Domestic Violence and the Truths to Set You Free. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone throughout the listening area. Our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. You hinted about this already. What did you find out about the later in life circumstances of many people in homes where there was childhood domestic violence?
The easiest way to think about it is, when you grow up living with domestic violence, it negatively wires the developing brain and encodes a series of beliefs that are these negative beliefs. The negative beliefs trigger challenges in four areas. And those areas are these. Emotionally, everything from depression to, you know, there's a great definition of happiness, which is, are your thoughts pleasant most of the time? These people, their thoughts are not pleasant most of the time. So it triggers challenges emotionally. It triggers challenge from the standpoint of health. The early death causes, right, the 10 leading causes of early death are all tied to growing up living in one of these homes. Behaviorally, there are struggles, everything from addiction. You know, people are 50 times more likely to be addicted to drugs and alcohol. 50 times. I'm 79 times more likely to be violent and to commit violent crimes. Suicide. Incarceration. Behaviors that really challenge our society are linked to this home. And lastly, you know, relationships. People who grow up in these homes often struggle with relationships, both relationships with their, you know, their intimate relationships, and also relationships with friends and at work. I mean, they often believe that in the end they'll be alone, and that leads to, because they were alone for so long in their mind, they often believe that, you know, they had no control when they were young. So now that they're older, we're going to get control somehow. That doesn't lead typically to favorable, healthy relationships.
So it's not just behavioral things and repeating of past patterns. We're talking about actual brain development, right? And didn't you mention that, that the actual structures of the brain are somewhat different in the child who grows up in a home with domestic violence?
Well, part of the, you know, we have this thing called a cognitive belief system or our self-concept, right? And that gets formed early in life, you know, before our adult brain is fully kicked in. You know, we have all of the emotional brain when we're pretty young, so we're able to label all those emotions. But the adult brain doesn't kick in until much, much later. So, you know, if we have a cognitive belief system or a self-concept that we believe we are these things, you know, we believe we are worthless. If you believe you're worthless, that is how you will behave. That is how you'll think. That's who you become.
A couple of calls here. Let's go first to John and Grants. Oops, got that wrong. Hang on a second. Let's go to John and Grants Pass. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Brian Martin, the author of Invincible.
Hi. Question. Are things worse now, or were they worse generations ago, or was it just not reported? I'll give you an example. My wife's grandpa, I guess, must have kept, he was an old German guy, and he kept track of everything the kids did wrong, and on Saturday night they got the belt or the strap, and I guarantee if he was hitting the kids, but he was hitting his wife too. But nothing like that was ever reported. And my second question is spanking, traditional spanking, considered to be just not hitting in the head, but just spanking on the butt? You'll say you're a three-year-old and you're being, is that considered abuse? So two questions, thanks.
All right, thanks for that. Appreciate it, John. So is there more domestic violence now, or is it just more reporting of it?
You know, when I was growing up, about, the physical child abuse often comes up, right? Whether it's a parent taking an open-handed punch to a child's face, like a crack or a slap, or to some other area of the body, you know, as people, and let's not say as children, because there really are no children. There are just people that are in childhood, which we all are and were at one point in time, right? So as a person in childhood, if you're receiving physical child abuse, you know what that is. You can process that. You know, you did something maybe, and this was the consequence. Was it an appropriate consequence or not? You know, that's, I don't believe it's appropriate, but the point of it is the person in childhood is able to understand and put a name to that, right? Everyone knows whether they experience physical child abuse. Nobody knows that they experience childhood domestic violence. And in most of the experiences that I've come across, and I've come across tens of thousands, to live in a home where the adults who you love most in life, those who created you, get hurt over and over, and you're unable to stop it, and you know it's going to happen again. That type of pain is a very different type of pain than the pain you feel momentarily from a sting. That type of pain is almost it's almost like a psychic pain. It's a very different type of pain, and what makes it even more damaging is that they don't know what to call it, therefore they can't talk about it. They can't process it in their own mind. They almost don't even know why it is their life just isn't where they thought it would be.
It's interesting. So the physical pain, if you're the one getting hit, you can relate to, well, I got that because I was bad, but it makes absolutely less sense to find out why the adults are fighting with each other, you're saying.
If anybody wants, they can go to cdv.org, and we have a 911 call at cdv.org. And it's a 911 call of a young girl calling the police. And if you listen to what's happening in the background, I've never had anybody listen to that. And if they haven't teared up, they've come awfully close to it. Because, you know, as a man in particular, just as a man, you know, the deepest secret a man will never share with you if he grew up in one of these homes is this. If as a person when he was in childhood, if he watched and let the person who he loves most in life, the person who created him, his mother, get hurt, and he couldn't do anything about it, like he couldn't even protect her, you know, what does that say about him? You know, what worth is he? How cowardly, how weak, what good are you? If you don't think that has an impact on who someone becomes. A very different impact than, you know, as the caller mentioned, getting a spank on the behind. We're not talking about physical child abuse. We're talking about something very different. Very different and processed very differently.
All right. So the lie number one, as you point out in the book, is that you were responsible. We'll get to the other nine lies in the list of 10. In the book Invincible, the 10 lies you learned growing up with domestic violence and the truths to set you free. Brian F. Martin is the author and our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Several calls waiting. We'll get to those in just a moment as we return to the Jefferson Exchange with Brian Martin and you to talk about Invincible. Please stay tuned. Final segment on today's Jefferson Exchange. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. Our guest today is Brian F. Martin. He's an entrepreneur. He's founded several businesses. He founded a CEO. He is the CEO and founder of the Childhood Domestic Violence Association, has produced executive produced a documentary called The Children Next Door, and he wrote a book that came out about a year ago called Invincible, The 10 Lies You Learned Growing Up with Domestic Violence and the Truths to Set You Free. It's out in paperback effective today. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone or by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Here's a call from Madeline in Ashland. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Brian Martin.
Hello.
Hi, go ahead.
There's an area of violence that happens to children in childhood that is very, I think also similarly has some similar effect. One is that a lot of shaming of children and emotional violence, which is not necessarily physical in the home, has an effect. And especially the other thing I wanted to address, which I've never heard addressed, is that when I was two and a half, I had a complication for months, and I was put in a hospital for 2 weeks and given excruciatingly painful penicillin shots 4 times a day. And to a two-year-old, I was being tortured, and it was my fault. And the adults were telling me it was good for me. But that was, in my two-year-old brain, that was a big lie.
Right. Yeah, the whole you were responsible thing. Thanks for sharing that with us, Madeline. And that gets back to lie number one, Brian. You were responsible. You're not. I mean, but it's a hard thing to get across to kids, isn't it?
Well, what Madeline brought up, too, was this idea of the emotional abuse, right? And emotional abuse is one of the adversities that you can face in your childhood home in the same way that childhood domestic violence is. The emotional abuse or the non-physical violence, right, sometimes that even takes place between the parents. And the children will internalize that in the same way, right? In a home where you have the parents, if they are routinely emotionally abusing one another, you know, a person in childhood could just as easily, you know, those words are sometimes like cannons. I heard a person actually said that to me. I think I had it in the book that, you know, there was no physical violence in their home, but the words they used, they felt like cannons. And the kids are sitting there and didn't know what to do, didn't know how to process it. You know, should they step in? Should they go act like it didn't happen? You know, was it in some way their fault? You know, they were afraid that what was next coming to them. So what Madeline brings up is the idea of emotional abuse. So many people experienced it, and they feel that they almost are shamed that to even bring it up, because they think like even the pain that they experienced wasn't as bad as other people's pain, so therefore they should just be able to get over it. That's not true. The impact is as significant, and the impact comes back to if it encoded one of those negative beliefs. You've got to unlearn that belief, because if you learned it at childhood, it's a lie. It's not who you are.
Another call here from No Name in Roseburg. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Brian Martin.
Hi. Am I on?
Yes,
you
are.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you for taking the call. And, Brian, thank you for this book. I'm looking forward to it.
Thanks.
Yes. What you've described, the consequences sure relate to my experience and my brothers and sisters with the emotional depression type things. Are you primarily happy or are you primarily depressed, and addiction, and then in actual marriage relationships or intimate relationships. I came here to Douglas County in 1971, and I had a job teaching high school, and I was given a paddle to beat the students with if they misbehaved, and that was something I had never heard of before, but it was commonplace here in the county schools, and I imagine in Jackson and Josephine County it was too. And I said to the person in charge, I can't do this, and I said, oh, well, just send the student down then. And I said, well, what will you do? And he said, well, have the student stand here, hold the desk, and and this is how you deliver the blow so it doesn't really injure the spine. And I'm thinking, holy smokes, I can't do that. And even today with friends, I can't have them, just give me a punch in the shoulder and say, hey, how are you doing? And I just make, no, you can't do that. I can't let you do that. Anyway, interesting how those scars stay on.
They really do. Thanks for sharing that story. Appreciate that. So, wow, that's stuff I didn't know still happened that late into American history. But Brian, the idea.
But if you think about that, I don't want to interrupt you. But if you think about that, if you're a child, right? And I said this earlier, and listeners, you have to understand this. Adversity faced inside your childhood home is very different than adversity faced outside your home. It is very different to be in 5th, 6th, 7th grade and go down and like that story that was just relayed. Is that good? No, it's not good, but you can process that. But when you get home, in that, what happens in that childhood home, and if it comes from those who created you,
and they're supposed to protect you.
If those who created you, who do you love more? Who is expected to love you more? So when you think about adversities faced in childhood, you got to bucket them and say, okay, first, did I experience an adversity in my childhood home, right? And what did I experience? Which ones were there? And if there was violence between your parents, whether it was physical or non-physical, that is something you need to become aware of and understand and share. It holds so many keys to help you really live I think live the life that was meant for you. Live it in a way so that if you feel in any way that, I'm just not where I thought I would be in life. And if you grew up in one of these homes, you got to spend a little time connecting to that information. There are answers there.
Another call from Kara in Ashland. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Brian Martin, the author of Invincible. Kara, go ahead. Going to skip Kara, go to Jean in Winston. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, well, I wanted to talk about a couple of things in my childhood. For some reason, my mother often thought that I needed an enema, and my children never needed enemas, but that was, I don't know, I reacted to that very, very negatively, and I just hated it. And then the other kind of thing I wanted to ask about, when I had done something I wasn't supposed to do and I was punished, well, I would have to go out and pick a switch, and if it was too little, I'd have to go out and get another one, you know, from a tree.
Right.
And then if it was too big, it would hurt more. So, you know, that I had to kind of figure out that. And then when my grandmother would lay me over her lap and either switch me or spank me, she would say, "This hurts me more than it does you," and I just couldn't believe that at all. Of course, now I understand, but and then I did spank my children. Now, how do you think that scenario fits in with the child abuse thing, child and violence?
All right, good questions. Thanks, Gene. Appreciate it. Brian, are you there?
No, I'm just thinking because it's a good example of, you know, if physical child abuse, which is you either hit your kids or you got hit, that may have encoded some lies too, because that was an adversity faced in childhood. And if that's one of the adversities that you faced, you want to dive into that to figure out what other lies might have been created.
Mm-hmm. I'm struck again by the cycle here. You know, the person who didn't like this done to her as a kid still ended up doing it to her own kids. It's a cycle that is very difficult to break.
And many people wind up saying to themselves, of course, well, this was done to me, so I'll, you know, I was raised in one of these homes, so I'll never create a home environment like that. And oftentimes, they don't create that same environment. But what they do is their life is still run by these lies. Even though their environment looks different than what their own childhood looked like, they still aren't where they expect to be in life, which is even more maddening because it's like, geez, you know, I grew up in one of these homes, and look at, I've been able to create a home that doesn't look anything like that. Why am I still not feeling like this is where I'm meant to be? And just because you're not repeating the pattern of whatever adversity it is, does not mean you're resilient.
All right, another call here. See if we can get Karen Ashland back on the line. Welcome back to The Exchange.
Hey, hi. I have a question about sibling abuse. My parents were pretty good parents, but they didn't know how to control my brother, who was a juvenile diabetic and had a lot of just up and down, you know, blood sugar levels. And he was full of anger. So he took it out on me and my sister quite often. My parents just were in denial about it, doing the best they could in the 60s. You know, there wasn't social work for juvenile diabetics back at that time. But it definitely affected me more with, like, I think, pre-verbal rage. But now that I'm listening to you here with this issue, like, where you are in your life, like, how do you think that relates for sibling abuse, where it wasn't really coming from your parents?
Okay, interesting side issue to bring in, Kara. Thanks for that. Sibling abuse, is that part of what you've been talking about, Brian?
You know, it's not part of what, you know, when I think of domestic violence, most people think of domestic violence as violence between the parents, right? But this idea of one of the siblings creating or hurting you or acting unpredictably, that may very well, if some of these lies or some of these negative beliefs about yourself, if you think they're actually true, then that experience may very well have encoded that. And for you, even if you just go to cdv.org and look at some of the lies and look at some of the excerpts, there may be something that, a truth that connects to you immediately. Like, I remember talking to one young person once, and I just said to them, you know, it's obviously never a child's job to control the action of an adult, right?
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't expect a child to control the action of an adult. And the 14-year-old just looked at me and stared and started to cry because, in his mind, it absolutely was his job to control the actions of an adult.
Right.
Something that seems so logical to us as adults, right, is not as logical to a child. I asked the same question to a woman in the book who, her name is Janine, and it was the same question, and she experienced adversities in her childhood home that I would not wish on a human soul anywhere in the world. And when I said to her, I said, well, you know, obviously, that you were in no way responsible for that, right? She said, yeah, I know that. I go, no, you know that there was nothing that you could have done to change that. she looked at me and she said, well, you know, I know that if I just, you know, if I just didn't look this way that time, or if I just did that. And she's a grown woman, beautiful, owns a business, really successful. Still, we can be driven by some of these lies because we never seek to become aware and understand and share, especially about childhood domestic violence.
So, Brian, what do you say to the people who do believe that they can tough it out? I mean, they've heard all 10 lies that you list in the book, as you put them, but they believe they're okay. They're better now. They can do okay without help. What do you say to them?
That's fantastic. What I say to them is, think to yourself and ask yourself this question: who stepped into your life to help you unlearn these lies? Who stepped in to help you realize that, no, you actually are free and you are compassionate and you are grateful and trusting and guided and accomplished and confident and loving? Who helped you believe them? Because someone stepped in to help you see that. It didn't happen by yourself and it didn't happen by divinity. And then what you need to do is realize for yourself, someone stepped in for you. You need to now step in for someone else.
Be the one, as you put it in the book. The book is called Invincible, The 10 Lies You Learned Growing Up with Domestic Violence and the Truths to Set You Free. Brian Martin wrote it. It's out in paperback as of today. Brian, thanks so much for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you for your time and thank you for the question.
All right, take care.